Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 71 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And this week, I am stoked to talk to Isal Ramos from 2M Smokehouse Barbecue in San Antonio, Texas. If you haven't heard about them, you will. I'm going to put links to all their social media and website below. You've got to check them out. And when you're down in Austin, just head down to San Antonio. Just a couple, two and a half hours. Definitely well worth it. This is a really cool one. It's so interesting. His background wasn't in barbecue, which there's a lot of people that I talked to that their background wasn't, but we go into his history, his influences. We go into a barbecue. We talked about a barbecue joint in Austin that he worked out, which is one of the top barbecue joints in the country and with one of the most amazing chefs in the country too. So you get a chance to hear about that life there and then him opening up and the struggles opening up the restaurant, and then the accolades that he's gotten from Texas Monthly Magazine. Super nice guy. You're going to fall in love with his restaurant just hearing about it. He uses a lot of his Hispanic there's a lot of Hispanic influences in the food. They have barbacoa, they have tacos, they have borracho beans, they have chicharrón mac and cheese, which just listening to makes my mouth water. I need to visit. You need to visit. I know you're going to love this. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this.
How's it going, brother?
Hey, what's up? Doing well. How you doing?
Yeah, man. Just here.
So you're back from New York, right?
Yeah. Me and the wife got married, and then we took off on a honeymoon over there, and we had never been. She had never been. I'd never been. So it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
I watched. I was following you guys, and it looked like a great trip.
It really was. The days were really good too. So it was cold, but the sun was out, and then it just snowed one day. So that really helped out a bunch.
And it wasn't as bad as it is right now. So it's not.
Oh, no.
You guys just missed it.
And we got out of it. Yeah. I was like,
Did you go to hometown?
I did. Dirty wasn't there, but he had his general manager and his staff really, really, you know, hook us up and stuff, and it was awesome.
That's cool.
Sticky ribs are probably one of my favorite ribs I've ever had.
Yeah, I haven't had. I've just heard amazing things.
Yeah, no, he's doing it right, but I like it because he's incorporating everything, you know, that he kind of grew up with and stuff. So that's really cool.
Definitely. It's kind of like what a lot of people in Texas are doing. They're not just going the traditional meats and sides. It's kind of they're blending things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know that's what I do at 2M. So it's pretty neat. I kind of like it. I think it's a different way to kind of elevate barbecue a little bit.
Yeah. No, I was talking to JC Reed came out here, like a month ago, and he was talking from Houston Chronicle, and he was talking about that, how like that's in his opinion, that's how like barbecue is changing in the positive direction, because it's showing the personality of the pitmaster and the restaurant.
No, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I think it's cool too. You don't have your just standard options anymore. It's kind of, you know, neat. You so you're like, oh, I'm gonna try that.
That's awesome. Well, let's get into the meat of it, so to speak. I've never said that. That's kind of corny. Well, good morning. How's your day going so far?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just what? Here, I had to go run some errands this morning real quick, and then got to go back to the restaurant here and later on do some inventory and stuff. So
you guys aren't open today, right?
No, not today. We'll start cooking tomorrow, but we're not open today. Today's just kind of inventory, and then we have some chairs that broke, so I got to go fix something.
That's always fun. That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So how did you get your start in barbecue? What did you do prior to barbecue?
I was actually a bus driver for the city of San Antonio. Yeah, so I'd pick up all San Antonio's finest.
Did you grow up in San Antonio?
I did. I'm born and raised here, and just started barbecuing when I was like 16 years old. I mean, as a Texan, you just grow up behind a grill and stuff. My dad would grill all the time, and
did you have an offset smoker or one of those small guys? Or
no, I didn't even start cooking on an offset. I didn't even know what an offset was at the time. I just grew. It was an old water heater that he had, and had it years, man. I mean, that thing was bad. I think it had like a 2-inch smokestack on it. Didn't even have a firebox or anything. It was bad. And that's pretty much what I started cooking on. and we would do it for family functions at, you know, us Mexicans just find any excuse to have a party.
that's one thing. That's a truth. That's not a stereotype. That's a truth.
No. Yeah, that's the truth.
Were you cooking brisket back then too, or just ribs?
No. So I started on your basic stuff like chicken and fajitas. Fajitas is one of my favorite things to cook.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, and then it just kind of went from there. You know, like my pops would, you know, start off the night, and then as the beers flowed and the meat got darker and darker, I kind of just one day was just like, hey, man, can I cook? And he let me in, and I just kind of instantly fell in love with it. So it was really cool from there. And then from there, it just elevated, you know, became ribs. And I met Joe, which is my business partner, and his dad had a huge offset smoker.
Oh.
And that's kind of when – that's the first time I got introduced to an offset smoker. And it was huge. It's an old oil drum. And wow. That's kind of what we started on. And then from that point, I started cooking briskets and just trying to get better and better at that.
And at that time, were you thinking, because you were cooking on the side while you were doing the bus, right, driving the bus, were you thinking someday this would be kind of cool to have a restaurant, or was that not even part of your...
No, yeah. Thought? So, well, this is even before the bus. This was like, we were still in high school at the time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And then I worked at a restaurant, and then the bus gig came after that. And around that time, I was like, man, I would really like to do this for the rest of my life. I kind of want to, you know, but you're like, how good am I really, you know? So and it just from there, I wound up in Austin. And then that's when I kind of gained more confidence, you know, and then came back home. And
did you move to Austin, or did you go when you visit and have some really good barbecue? And that was kind of an epiphany, because that seems to be the case for a lot of people.
Yeah. So I was doing what I was doing here. And then one day I went to Austin. I didn't know anything about the Austin scene. I knew nothing about it. And I was driving around, and I Googled best barbecue joints in Austin, and Franklin's popped up. And I was like, oh, cool, let's go to this Franklin place or whatever. And it was like 3 something in the afternoon, and I went, and I was like, I saw the sold out sign. And here in San Antonio, we don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, what do you mean you're sold out? Like, you're what?
Yeah, like, was there a party that came through?
Yeah, so I didn't understand it. So a couple weeks later, I ended up going back, and I had Franklin's for the first time, and I was like, oh, shit. I see what's going on.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense now. You're like, okay, there's some logic to this.
And then from there, yeah, this grand epiphany came, and I was like, see, there is amazing barbecue in this world.
I think I think people have had barbecue in their entire lives, and then they go to Texas and they think, oh, wait a second, this is something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in San Antonio, growing up, Bill Miller's is king here. Mm. Oh, so, okay. You know, you grow up with that. And then you go to that, and you're like, oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
and I don't know what I'm eating this whole time.
I kind of had that same thing with California barbecue. That was just, we had a lot of places that were along that same vein, or very saucy, like covered right. with sauce. Right? Yeah. So it was, it's a lot different. So then after that, did you think, well, hey, I'm just going to move to Austin? Or did you get a job in Austin? Or did you decide to work for, because I know you worked for La Barbecue, right?
Yeah, so what happened was I started visiting Austin more frequently, and I started talking to John Lewis, which at the time they had just opened up La Barbecue. It was a couple months old, and I went. Me and John just started talking, and I would just go more often, and we just became he just knew who I was after a while, and one day I lost my job at Via, and I went to Austin, and I was like, hey, man, can I work here? And he was like, you live in San Antonio? And I was like, that's cool. Like, don't worry about that. I'll worry about that. And he was like, well, the position has been filled, because they had an opening for somebody to work inside the trailer.
Okay.
And he came like a week later, and he was like, hey, man, my pit guy is leaving. Would you like to take over his position? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So then I commuted back and forth for a little over a year, and then I ended up renting a house there for the last half year that I was.
And so people can know how, what is that commute? How long is that commute?
It's like an hour and a half.
Well, that's not too bad. That's that's a commute in a lot of cities.
At 12 o'clock at night when you're driving back, it could be a little.
No, I'm saying it's not too bad. Like it's doable, but it's not fun.
Right, yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
And so you did that for, so were you working side by side with John at that time, or were you mostly like doing other prep stuff or?
No. So, I mean, I pretty much came on, and right off the bat, he was like, "Well, let me see if you know how to trim briskets." And luckily I did. And then from that point, he just kind of showed me like how he liked it there. And it was really cool. I think he spent like a couple of days with me, and then after that, it was just me doing it on my own.
Wow.
It's like I always tell people, it's like it's not that Le Barbecue didn't teach me how to cook barbecue. Le Barbecue taught me how to teach bar how to cook barbecue at huge capacities, which
Gotcha.
is really different, which is really great. So, to be consistent at high volumes like that is, I
That's
feel,
hard.
think of a lot harder than cooking five briskets for your friends that are going to tell you it's good no matter what.
Definitely. What? How many briskets were you guys cooking at that time when you were there?
When I started, we were doing 28.
28.
Yeah, by the time I left, they were in the 50s.
That's an amazing amount. That's
I don't know what they're at now, but yeah.
yeah. Wow, that's what a great experience, and getting a chance to be at one of the top barbecue places in essentially the country,
No, yeah.
you really got a chance to see how that whole mechanism works.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was fun. I had a blast there. Met some awesome people. Made a pretty cool name for myself, and then I was able to bring that back with me when I opened up here in San Antonio.
And was that something that John always knew, or they always knew that you were going to be coming back to San Antonio to eventually open your own restaurant? Was that kind of
Yeah,
a
yeah.
common knowledge?
Yeah, I sat down with him and the owners the first day that I got hired, and I told him like this is I plan on opening up my own gig one day. I didn't know when that day was going to be, but I was like, this is going to happen eventually.
Did you think that John, did John, was John always a foot out the door too? Did he always want to open his own place too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, and I know when he went to South Carolina, he really fell in love with that, and I think that was like the point in his life when he was like, yeah, this is where I want to end up. This is where I want to open up what I'm
Yeah.
gonna do.
Have you been to his place since?
I have not. I have not.
Yeah, I want to go too. I've just
I hear from a lot of people. I look at the pictures. It's a gorgeous restaurant, I'm pretty sure.
It's a gorgeous restaurant, and they're putting out, like, again, they're not putting out the typical barbecue.
No. And then I think he just opened up a Mexican joint, which
That's
is
what
kind of cool too.
I
Yeah.
just started that too. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's amazing. So what was it like then trying to get your rest? I think that from what I have read before, it took a little while to get the actual physical spot that you wanted to open up your restaurant at, right?
Yeah, so we didn't know in what direction we wanted to go. At first, we were thinking about a food truck,
Okay.
and San Antonio made that. It's just a bunch of BS what you got to go through to even open up a food truck. So we were like, it was just better to find a brick and mortar. But before that, we were like, well, we were gonna do these pop-ups in this little town called Lido, which is like 30 minutes outside of San Antonio.
Okay.
And then that was a bust. So I got on Craigslist and I found the location that we're at now. The guy actually wanted to sell the property, and I was like, no, man, I want to lease it. And he was like, well, I don't want to do that.
Oh
So
no.
I don't know. I guess I just told him what my vision was and what it is that I want to do. And he fell in love with it. So he was like, all right, cool. Like I'll give you guys a shot.
And you're still leasing it from him? Is that the
Yeah.
okay.
So, I mean, we plan on buying it hopefully one day, which would
Yeah.
be great.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, as of right now, yeah, we're still buying it, and it's been we just hit a year, December 3rd, so that was really
Yeah, I
awesome.
was going to congratulate you on that. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was an old Mexican restaurant, and we gutted the whole place. We became electricians and plumbers and carpenters and everything in that restaurant. We pretty much did it ourselves.
Where do you get your smoker from?
Oh, John Lewis.
Oh,
John Lewis.
it's from Austin, Austin Smokework.
He cut me a really awesome deal on it, so I couldn't pass it out.
That's awesome. What's the capacity of that one? What size is it?
It's from smokestack to the end of the firebox, it's 20 feet.
20 feet.
Yeah, and
So
then it's 3 feet in width.
is that 1,000 gallon? What would that be? Is
Yeah,
that
it is. Yeah,
1,000 gallon? Okay.
it's 1,000 gallon, and It's been working good. It does what I needed to do. So
and you probably know it. You understand it. You get it.
Yeah. Which was great. Which was another reason why I didn't mind getting it. I was like, you know, this is what we've been cooking on this whole entire time. So I know the product they can deliver.
Definitely. Now, what was that like that first week that you opened? Was that scary?
It was, man. It was. We were doing a bunch of pop-ups every Saturday leading up to our opening, just to help keep funding us being able to, you know, buy and fix whatever it is that we needed. We bought everything off of Craigslist. I think we had a little 4-burner stove at the time that only 2 burners worked on it.
That's funny.
Yeah, we had 1 fridge that held all the produce and meat. We had to make that work and stuff. It was insane. But we opened up December 3rd. I remember it was raining and our roof was leaking inside the restaurant.
Oh no.
People were just crammed in there, you know, that they had got there early. And it was pretty crazy. Like afterwards we were like, I can't believe it.
was it a pretty good reception right off the bat? The people had known about you, right? Because of the pop-ups.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. So the pop-ups, and then, you know, just kind of trying to build my name in Austin, which really helped out. And then I reached out to a bunch of people here in San Antonio. So that was kind of cool. They helped get the word out. And then after that, we've been going really good.
And 2M is your grandfather's last name? And
So 2M, everybody thinks 2M stands for 2 Mexicans. And we always.
That's funny, but that's not my first thought.
That's always it. But it stands for Marquez, which is my grandparents' last name, and okay. Melik, which is my business partner's grandparents' last name.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So that's something too. I'd heard a story, I think, from Daniel or something, that you guys were sleeping out, like had a bed by your smoker at one point, or.
Yeah, no, I mean it's still there. So we have a cot out there, and we just kind of sleep in shifts. So I'll take the 10 in the from 10 o'clock at night to 4 in the morning. Joe sleeps, and then I'll sleep from 4 in the morning to about 7 or 8. And then, but that's now starting to change up. I hired a new guy. His name's Dusty, and he's awesome.
Okay.
So he opened us out. And now we kind of get to go home a couple of days out of the week. So that's
that's nice. That's huge.
Yeah. From when we first opened up, yeah, we were running on maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of sleep. And it was just we're like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, nah, man, it's not.
Yeah. Like it sounds really cool. Why don't you try it out for a week and tell me what you think it's cool.
Exactly. So. You know, but it's been great.
No, that's awesome. Well, what days of the week you guys open?
Thursday through Sunday right now.
Thursday through Sunday, open at 11 or 10:30?
No, 11.
11.
Yeah, 11. And here lately, we've been running out at the latest, probably 3 o'clock, 3:30. If it's a crazy, crazy day, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know.
And then was it after Texas Monthly, did that kind of change things for?
Definitely. I mean, we were nice and steady, and then Texas Monthly hit, and that just, you know, bumped us up, and that was really awesome. I was really honored to be in that. I was like, man, this is so cool.
That is amazing. That's a great feat too for being such a young restaurant.
Yeah, for sure. I think we were open 5 months when the list came out, 5 or 6 months, I want to say.
Well, I think they were going, because you said you opened in December. I think January is when they were starting to check restaurants out list. So that's good timing.
it was perfect. Like, man, this is really neat. So,
well, your menu is a little unique. I'd love to hear about your menu so people can know about what you guys are serving.
Yeah, for sure. So we have the traditional. You know, we have brisket and then turkey breasts and pork ribs, pulled pork, and sausage. We make our own sausage. So like our pulled pork is kind of cool. I kind of try to incorporate. There's this Mexican dish called carnitas pibil. Uh-huh. And they have like it's like marinated in this like orange juice and lemon juice.
So good. You
know, stuff like that. So I tried to make my own, you know, my own interpretation of that.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. So we don't season the pork butts when we throw them on the pit, and we just season them on the block, and then I put that sauce, the sauce that I made, to try to make it as close to that kind of style.
That's interesting. That's really good.
So we do that, and then the pork ribs are just, they're just standard pork ribs, and then I make a glaze for them, and so I'll glaze them up, so you'll get them a little bit of glaze. Okay. So they're a little sweet, a little heat, you know, it's kind of nice.
What about the sausage? How many different sausages did you make? I know there's one that's really unique. That's what...
Yeah, so I have two sausages. I have a standard beef one that's always changing. I think it's just, I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. I'm always tweaking it. I'm always toying with it. And then I have my other one that I love. It's an all pork sausage, and it has cilantro and Oaxaca cheese and serrano peppers.
Oh, that sounds so good. So good.
I wanted to pull away from like the traditional cheddar and jalapeno. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of put our own little twist on it. So that's kind of what we came up with. And I was like, I was happy with it.
I don't know anybody that has a Oaxacan cheese in there.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. So we were like, it seems to be working. People seem to be really liking it. So, I mean, I'm making more and more of it each week, which pisses me off because I'm like, I need to make this damn stuff. But it makes me happy because it makes me know that people are liking it.
Were you making sausage in Austin, or did you just start getting into it when you came back?
I started toying with sausage, and then I went to Austin and they made their own sausage there. Okay. So I kind of found, you know, the fundamentals of making sausage and stuff, which was kind of cool. Cause it can be a pretty scary thing if you don't know what you're doing and you're just like, I think this is how it's done.
No, it's important that you kind of have some sort of base.
Yes. Yeah. So I got to bring that knowledge back with me. So that was really cool.
That's awesome. And then you have Oaxacan cheese in one of your sides too, right?
In our macaroni. So our macaroni is, it's a Oaxaca cheese macaroni. And,
I've never had that either. That sounds so good. And it has chicharrón, right?
Yeah, yeah, and we top it with pork rinds on top, which is really cool. And then we pickle all of our own sides. We have borracho beans. We have that chicharroni macaroni. I just have a standard sweet coleslaw, and then I have a bell pepper buttermilk potato salad.
Oh man, that's and do you sell out of the sides too every day too?
Yeah, we do actually. We usually coleslaw is always the one that gets it the worst. Coleslaw's like, what do we got left? We're like, oh, coleslaw. I'm like, oh, cool, you know.
It kind of does. I think at most places it tends to be the last one standing.
I'm pretty sure. Actually, Tom Mickleweed has probably one of my most favorite coleslaws ever.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, his is really awesome. But other than that, we have pickled bell peppers. I do pickled bell peppers instead of pickled red onions.
Oh wow, I don't think I've had that.
So I do that. I do pickled cactus, pickled serranos, and then we make our own pickles, and I make my own onions or pickle my own onions as well. And then we have pico de gallo.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So then, what else should people know about your restaurant then that people might not know? What time should people show up generally, like nowadays? Is it?
It's not that crazy. Sometimes Saturdays people start getting there around 9, 8:30, but that's very rare. I always tell people, you know, just show up around 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock. You'll be all right. Okay. You know,
that's cool.
Now, if you're showing up at like 1:30, 2 o'clock, I don't, you know.
That's not your fault.
I don't have, you know, a lot of the other stuff that we offer.
All right. What's the seating like in your restaurant?
Tiny, man. I think we could only seat 40 people in there right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. 20 inside and then 20 in the patio.
Okay. But people mostly are... It's people are running through, so it's not like something people aren't waiting for seating, right?
Right, right. I mean, not really. It doesn't happen.
I think it's crazy, I'm sure.
Every now and then, people be like, "There's nowhere to sit," and I'm like,
"Sorry, eat off your trunk."
Yeah, I mean, I've had people do that. They'll like come outside and they'll go tailgate it in their truck and stuff. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome. So, what's the? I was texting Robert yesterday. Robert Jacob Lerma. The Brisket Cartel.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? I'm just curious
about the Brisket Cartel. Yeah, yeah. I don't even know, man. They're just, I guess they just formed that group. Yeah, they just formed that group. Ernest has those old English brisket caps and mm-hmm. stuff, and I remember them talking about it and stuff, and then they just formed that group, and I was like, man, that's kind of cool.
That is cool. No, that's funny because I texted him. I'm like, how do you get that hat? Where can I buy it? And he's like, there's only 10. It's already.
It's a super exclusive group.
Yeah, it's super exclusive. That's really cool. Well, awesome. Well, I want to thank you for getting the chance to, connect, and I definitely want to come out when I do. I'll be visiting in March, so I'd like to
Oh,
come
nice.
by. Do you go to other places? What other barbecue places do you like?
I do. Whenever I get a chance here in town, there's a little food truck called Nelson's Barbecue. It's run by this guy named Nathaniel Nelson. He's a really cool guy, and he's cranking out some really awesome stuff here in San Antonio. In Austin, Mickleweights is my favorite spot.
I was gonna say, I was gonna guess that though.
I just like his options, man. He has super cool sausages, every now and then.
Amazing.
They're awesome. His meats are always great. So I like doing that a lot. Curlin's is also a really cool spot.
I've never been, but I've seen their photos just blow me away.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you get
And
out to Houston ever?
yeah, every now and then I've been wanting to go to Grant's place, but every time I'm off, he's closed, so I'm just like, maybe I'll get a second. Oh, Rogo's place is really awesome. I've been at that house. They're doing some killer stuff. That carrot souffle is,
I haven't had that, but I've again, that's something that I've heard amazing things of.
it's insane. I don't even. It's like a dessert more than it is a side. But take it as a side. I don't care.
That's awesome. Well, it's funny too. It's just interesting how this whole barbecue world is so different than it was maybe 5 years ago. It's
Okay.
and it seems and it seems like there's more and more places popping up like yourself who are putting out amazing product that didn't exist 5 years ago or 3 years ago or.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's really great for a lot of people that have always been wanting to do it, and I feel that there's an even bigger demand for it now. It is getting pretty saturated, but there's always room for more and more, great barbecue. And it just keeps everybody on their toes.
For sure. What would you say to someone that really was watching this that wanted to open up a place? Would you say do it, but maybe go to a city that's not as saturated as maybe and well, obviously Austin and now Houston is starting to become, and even Dallas.
I would say really, like, really look at your market and see if the demand for it is there. Anywhere you open up in Texas, people are going to come, but there's also so many amazing places already in Texas. So I always say, if you really want to make a name for yourself, you could always go outside of Texas, which I think a lot of people are starting to do now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's a
Yeah.
lot of great places outside of Texas.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. But I mean, if you really want to do it for a living, just buy what it is that you need, and make sure that you're very, very confident in what it is that you're putting out. Even if you just put out two meats to begin with, while you work on anything
Yeah.
or anything else, that's fine.
And make sure you're hands-on too, that you're not an absent owner.
Yes. If you're just trying to do this for the money, then I mean, good luck to you, man. But if you're really passionate about this, then yeah, you got to be there. You
Yeah.
really, really. I mean, it's, I like to go home sometimes. I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, quality is what's going to keep us where we need to be. So I got to keep that going.
How far away do you live from your restaurant?
Oh, not that far. Maybe about 15-minute drive.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah,
Excellent.
nothing crazy.
Well, excellent. Well, I hope you have a good week and a great start of your year. And congratulations again on getting married.
Oh, thanks, man. Likewise, man.
That's
How's
awesome.
the weather over there?
It's actually raining. We haven't had rain in 9 months or 8 months.
Oh, dang. It just snowed a couple was like last month, I think it snowed.
That's so
But
bizarre.
like the following day it was like 80 degrees.
That's yeah, no, that would be California too. If it snowed today, it would be like 80 to 90 here where I live right now. It's so, and it's, do you ever come out to California?
I have been once to California. I really want to go back. I just went once. It was a family trip. I really didn't do everything I wanted to do, so I'm
Well,
definitely gonna go back.
let me know next time you come out. And I would definitely love to tour you around, go to some good places, and maybe. But there's some cool stuff happening here now. Finally, it's kind of changing.
Nice, man. Well, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely hit you up if I ever am
Yeah,
in the neck of the woods.
in my neck. But the chances are, I'll probably see you at your place before you see me here.
Come on down, man. I would love to have you over.
Excellent. Well, have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
And
You as well, man.